My name is Dr. K. Francis Barksdale. I'm Dr. K. Barksdale now because I just received my doctoral degree from the Temple Bible College for singing sacred music. Praise the Lord. Right now, I am a retired person from WCPO-TV, and I was hired there as the secretary to Mr. Mort Waters, who was the chairman of the board, Scripps Howard, and his office was there at WCPO-TV. And I enjoyed meeting people because I love people. And I enjoyed meeting people so much until being his secretary was great. But I think he knew everybody in America and beyond, from Khrushchev on down to I'm making a joke of this, tell the devil, because sometimes he would, as he was quite a man, would have me laughing and I would have him laughing. So that's why I said the devil, because I used to tell him, Mr. Waters, you know what, you ain't nothing but the devil.
And I knew you as the you worked there for how many years, and I knew you as a receptionist there?
I was receptionist, but I was secretary. I was hired as the secretary to Mort Waters. And I am the first Black woman that was hired in Channel 9 as an employee. And Mr. Hasker Nelson was the first Black man. He was there for many years, and he had his own show, Black Memo. And he was the only one that they had discovered that for 25 years he was on the air with that program in America.
And how many years were you at WCPO altogether?
I was at WCPO-TV for 37 years straight. Not laid off, not let go. I retired.
So on the night of the Memorial Day weekend, the night of the Beverly Hills fire, what brought you to the Beverly Hills Supper Club that night?
It was Memorial Day weekend, and I am a member, and I still am, of the Greater Cincinnati Core Union. That is a gospel group from a division that is here in Cincinnati from the Dr. Thomas A. Dorsey Convention Union. And our unions go from state to state, different cities and states belong to the national convention. Dr. Thomas A. Dorsey, as you might remember, is the man who everybody loves his song he wrote, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, Lead Me On to That Land. And I became good friends with him and his wife during the time of the years that we were convening together at different cities and states. I might be in North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia. However, we always go from state to state for the convention to convene.
So was this a convention or just a dinner meeting or a performance? What was it that evening?
No, this is the Greater Cincinnati Core Union, as I was letting you know, is a division of the union, which is a national convention. We were there because of our choir getting together. I think about that time we had about 125, maybe 250 people that we had from the division here in Cincinnati. And we were going to have a get-together for the Memorial Day weekend, and we wanted to go to a nice place. I had two of my members at that time, Lenora Hill and Charlene Matthews. They were the two people in charge of our getting together for the weekend. And that's how we ended up at the Beverly Hills, because as you know, as many of you might know, it was a spectacular, fantastic place to go for a nightclub or a supper club, is what they called it, because you could go and they had the best of food and the nicest of all people and what have you.
And it was very ornate and fancy looking, correct?
Yes, it was. It was a beautiful place. My first time going there is during the time that I had a very good girlfriend. She was nice as she could be, and her name was Audrey Zebrack. She lived in Indian Hill, And we became good friends because she would have to come down to Channel 9 in order to bring the great stars like Peter Nero and other people that would be performing at places like the Beverly Hills or at the Aronoff. At that time, it was the Tap Auditorium and places like Music Hall and what have you. And we became good friends during that time. And she had to go over to Beverly Hills to get a piano bench for Peter Nero because he was short. And they had to have another bench for him, which she worked at the Baldwin Piano Company during that time. So they had to have a special bench for him so that he would be able to be low enough and yet high enough to reach the keys and also the pedals on the piano. So she took me over with her. The Shillings were there, and she had gotten permission because she was a friend to them and the family. She got permission that she wanted to show me around Beverly Hills during that time, the Supper Club. And I was happy about that. So that's how I knew all of the places that I had already seen before my gospel group had gone over there. So that was a blessing for me.
That Memorial Day weekend that the Choral Union met there, was that your first time there, or had you been there often for dinners or shows?
I had been there before for friends of mine that we had gotten together to go over to the Beverly Hills for dinner. So I knew somewhat of the main dining area, some of the other places that I had been shown, like the Zebra Room and the places upstairs. And Beverly Hills is indescribable because it was how beautiful it was. I mean, a lot of people like me maybe have never seen as I saw there. The wallpapers were of velvet and the curtains to match. And in the Zebra Room, it was like black and white. The reason why it was called Zebra mm-hmm. Room, but that was on the first floor. And then upstairs, I went to the red, black, and gold room. And I sat there at that time, the bar. And yes, I did used to drink. I used to drink what they call the sunrises. And they would tell me, why are you drinking that baby drink? I said, what do you mean baby drink? They said, why don't you get something from Top Shelf? I like, what? Like Cavassier. I said, oh, so I got hooked on Cavassier, but I never was a drinker. But I found out they said it will not let you have a headache. So I didn't want to have a headache. So I thought, well, Top Shelf, I didn't have to pay for it. Everybody was treating me to a drink. So I would start drinking, sipping on Cavassier and Coke, you know. So that's how I got to see some of the rooms upstairs on the second floor. And they had a spiral stairwell.
Kind of in the main entrance.
Right, from the main entrance. The carpeting was red, and it was beautiful. And you would go spirally, like, to the second floor. And I always enjoyed looking at the bathrooms. And you're talking about a bathroom, your bathroom, my bathroom. Nobody's bathroom was like the ones at Beverly Hills. That was so beautiful because, as I said, they would have the velvet curtain over the glass, which was where you would have your makeup to watch yourself in the mirror to do your makeup, you know. And then they had the gold in one room. And in another bathroom that they had up there, which I love dearly, was the red velvet and the velvet curtain to match. It was like red and gold. And that was beautiful. And they also had chandeliers all over the place. And if you have never seen a chandelier, even the lighthouse that was on Montgomery Road didn't have chandeliers like they had in Beverly Hills. So I always said one of these days when I get older and have my money to get rich, I'm going to have a chandelier. And believe it or not, in my house right now, I do have a chandelier. And I love it dearly.
So that night, the meeting, the room you were in, was that the Zebra Room or were you in an upstairs?
No, that was called the Crystal Room.
Upstairs.
Upstairs on the second floor. That was the Crystal Room. And the night when I had the premonition of the Beverly Hills, I always say this happened because it was the Holy Spirit. And I call the Holy Spirit the Lord gave me the premonition that we should not go to the Beverly Hills. And I had expressed that to my choir members that night, but they didn't want to listen to me. They didn't believe that we should not go. And there was another man who had made mention of it also. He's dead now, but his name was George Colin, who had his own funeral home in Avondale on California Avenue, if I'm not mistaken about that. He, too, felt that we should not be going to the Beverly Hills that night because he felt that we had had such a hallelujah good time in rehearsing at the Church of God over on Fosdick, and the Holy Spirit was high. And I know you might remember the steakhouse that used to be up by UC. We went there for lunch, and that's when I expressed that I don't think we should go. And they said, okay, you're going to be just like one of the old fuds.
How much in advance of that Memorial Day weekend did the Holy Spirit visit?
In advance, I got the acknowledgement from the Lord that let me know that I should express that we should not go there. That was the night that we had had such a hallelujah, hallelujah shouting good time at the church on Fosdick.
So is that like a couple of days or weeks?
You mean from the time that I got the premonition? No, that was during the time that we had rehearsed for our concert that we were about to do for the weekend. We always had a church that we would have the concert, and it was going to be down at the Southern Baptist Church during the time, but we were going to celebrate our weekend. And we were going to be singing over at the church where we were rehearsing, which is Fosdick, during that time. But we were going to go for that weekend, which was that, if I'm not mistaken, it goes back to 1977 now. We were going to have our dinner, which was that Saturday, because that's when we were rehearsing. And then we would all go home and change and get ready for the banquet and be ready for our concert, which was going to be that following Sunday. That's when I expressed, and that's when also George Colin felt that we should not go also. I don't know whether he had a premonition or what, but nobody listens to premonition. They don't believe in them. They don't even know what it is, okay? But I did express it to them then.
So that night, you're in the crystal room upstairs. Mm-hmm. There's about 100, 120 of you, do you think?
Well, this is what had happened. When we got there, I saw Charlene Matthews and Lenore Hill. They were the ones who were in charge. And they, when we got to the top of the stairs, they were in the hallway. And I had shown another girlfriend and choir member of mine around because I knew the place that well. For the bathrooms I just expressed to you. And she had never seen anything like it either. And so they were seemingly to be upset. And I said, what's the matter? And they said, well, we were just told that we don't have enough tickets for the people that we have oversold tickets and they don't have enough food for us. And I said, are you kidding? They said, no. Well, the room where we were in, we were told that it only would hold 75 people in the crystal room. They had sold over 100 and some tickets, and they were trying to figure out how they could get enough food for us for that night. So I said, well, don't worry about it. You're getting all upset about it. So she said, okay, what are we going to do? We don't have enough food to feed the people. I said, well, they can have my plate. You know, I'm always the one who loved to make people laugh. I said, they can have my plate. And as many that can have the plate because they have good food here, don't worry about it. She didn't like what I had to say because she didn't think it was a laughing matter at that time, you know. So she went ahead to see what she could do to talk to the management, what have you, for our benefit for that night. So I went into the room and I saw quite a few of my friends that were there. And because Doris Butler, I was still showing her around. So we went to the room next door to us, and they were convening because of their celebration. They were celebrating Afghan.
Afghan dogs, yes.
That's across
the hallway.
Yes. A lot of people don't know what an Afghan is. And when I heard about it after the Beverly Hills fire, I had to call Channel 9 to let them know, because they were announcing that they had African people up there. And I'm black and I'm proud. And I don't mind saying it loud, okay? And that's no joke. That's for real. But I had to call that night to let them know that they did not even have us on the roster. When I got there, the receptionist, or I would say the lady that was in charge of all the people that were attending, the John Davison, who was the guest artist there. He was good looking. All the women, men, and all loved him because he really could sing. And that was the night that so many people were there talking about, we got to see John Davison. They came by the busloads that night. I have never seen so many buses from Indiana, from Ohio, Kentucky, and other places just to see John Davison on that night. So that was in the main auditorium.
But your event was just this gathering. You didn't have show tickets for later on that night to do the show.
No, because we were not a part of John Davison's program. We were having our own, I'd say, entertainment for that night. We were going to have a live band, and we were not told that's what was going to happen, because when Charlene told me that we were having a live band, I said, live band for what? She said, we're going to have a live band because we're going to boogaloo. And that's a dance, okay? Yeah. I said, boogaloo? I said, wait a minute. We are a church group. What do you mean we're going to dance? She said, Kay, I keep telling you, you're just like one of the old fuzz. And I was really young during that time, okay? But that was her expression to let me know, because of my way of thinking, that I was going to be like the older people, because older people and younger people were invited. And that is the same of how our choir is made up of young and older people.
We have also spoken to Wayne Dammert, who is a banquet captain. He said that in the room you were in, they actually set up some more tables so that it could accommodate your entire group that
yes, night. That is the truth. I saw them bring out more tables. They put the tablecloths on so they could seat the ones that were coming in and had no place to sit down. And so they made it possible for all of us to be accommodated that night.
So you're there for dinner. There's going to be dancing and the music and some boogalooing. Did you get to eat before? And how did you learn that there was some sort of problem with the building and they wanted you to leave?
We were in the Crystal Room, and the Crystal Room was called that because every light hanging were nothing but chandeliers. Crystal chandeliers was shining, sparkling, beautiful. So that's why it was called the Crystal Room. When they set the tables up so that others could be accommodated, they were tables that were bumper to bumper. And about the time when we were supposed to have been served, we were not. And we wondered why were they treating us the way they were, which I didn't appreciate, and others felt the same way. It was not a discrimination effort that they had towards us as Black people. No, that was not true. They were treating us beautifully, as they have always, every time I've ever been to the Beverly Hills. But I could not understand why the tables were bumper to bumper, table to table, because they were round tables. And I had said to Billy Good, a guy that sat at my table with me, I can't understand why they're not serving us. The waiters and waitresses were standing there whispering to one another, but I didn't understand why they were doing that. But I found out later that the fire had already started downstairs and the people were getting out, but they had not told us that the place was on fire.
And eventually that wait staff or somebody announced that there's a fire in the building or something.
Okay. While waiting to be served, I remember that the waitresses and waiters started serving us the salad. They would pass it, because of so many people in that room, from afar. They would ask, would you pass this over to her or to him or whomever? And I said, I can't believe that they're doing this to us. Why are they doing this? And I don't know. I've never known this to happen either. And we were possibly getting upset because of the treatment we were getting. But I found out later that was not a discrimination thing, that they were handling it that way. But they were trying to get everybody served. So we had been served the salad. They had dinner that night. And I remember it was like chicken and mashed potatoes or whatever else they had with the rolls and what have you. But before they served us the meal, I noticed that it was getting hot in the room. And I said to Billy, why is it getting so hot in here? Didn't they pay for the air conditioning? Or did they turn that off like they're turning us off now, making a joke out of things, okay? And Billy said, I don't know. Well, I looked at the table, the butter on the butter plates were melting, and the iced tea with the ice in the glass started to melt. And the time that we were waiting to be served, all of the ice had melted. So finally, we looked at the doorway, and I remember I had put my purse, which was a clutch purse, under the table out of my way, you know. So when we saw that the smoke had started coming into our room, we were wondering, what's going on? Where does that smoke come? Where is that coming from? And Billy said, I don't know, but I'm going to get up and go and see what's happening. And I said, well, you're not going to leave me in here. I'm going too. So I got up to go. And at that time, someone hollered out, oh, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's only a cigarette. I found out the one who had said that was Susan Shanks, who had said that night. So we believed Susan because she said, settle down, everything's all right. And we waited again. And the waitresses and waiters were still standing there talking as if they wanted to tell us, but they had been told not to tell us because they didn't want to have us in a panic state. So all of a sudden, we saw the smoke getting darker and was bellowing in to our room. And I said, I don't like this. And Billy said, I don't either, and I'm getting up. So he got up to leave, and I got up to leave. And by the time we got out there in the hallway, oh, it was filled totally with black smoke. And I thought, I don't believe this. What's going on? So the people from the next door, from the Afghan room, they were running down the hall because they were trying to find out what was going on. And they had not been told that the place was on fire, which we did not know that's what had happened. But then someone shouted out, get out, get out. This place is on fire. Get out. And that's when people started jumping up from their tables and tables that were put on the stands, you know, to put your food and the cover of the tablecloths and what have you. But they were knocking the tables over, trying to get out of the room. And when we got out in the hallway, the smoke was so thick. And we were trying to run down the corridor, but there were so many people out there in the corridor that we could not, and our corridor is the hallway, we couldn't see. And I remember going to my left of the crystal room down the hallway. And I remember trying to see, and there was a lady that was going into the smoke that was black as could be. And I remember seeing her, we had gotten towards the stairwell, and she disappeared into the blackness of the smoke. And I believe to my heart this day that lady did not make it out because she disappeared into the blackness of the smoke.
And this was the grand stairway?
The grand stairwell. We had gotten to the stairwell, but the people were so cluttered by our group and other groups that were next door and others coming down the hall were trying to find a way out that we couldn't see, but you were trying to find your way.